Brad with me as we start off with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to sing praises to you, Lord God, lifting up your name. Father, may your Spirit be present in our hearts this morning. May you work at us and stir at us, draw us closer to you. Help us be more sanctified, Father, and to live the way you have called us to live as children of yours. May this message bless and encourage us all. May the words that I preach today be from you, Lord God, that all that we do may glorify your holy name. Amen. So this last week, the installation happened, became the pastor here. You are now stuck with me. Fortunately, on the way out, a lot of you shaking my hand said, oh, now you're locked in here. So it's official that I am the pastor here. But I'll be honest, that's not really what I had pictured myself doing when I was a small child. How many of us remember what we wanted to do when we were kids? Maybe an astronaut, maybe a fireman, something, you know, heroic and exciting and things like that. And we had kind of big dreams about that. I mean, you know, every kid wants to do something kind of cool and exotic and heroic when they're young. I was a little different in that when I was young. I didn't want a job like that. I really didn't. I didn't want one of these heroic, glamorous type of jobs. I always wanted the kind of job that I had the opportunity to speak to a large group of people. And I wanted to always tell them about these tremendous rewards that they could receive. I wanted to give them instructions how they could receive these rewards. It's a job that very few have ever followed the calling on. I wanted to be a game show host. I really did. I wanted to be a game show host as a kid. That was my dream. I used to watch all the game shows while kids are watching cartoons. I was watching Tic-Tac-Doe and Joker's Wild and Sale of the Century. I still remember when Wheel of Fortune was new, I'd watch with my grandma. Do you remember Wheel of Fortune was first out and they'd spin the thing and people would buy the prizes on it, including the $75 ceramic Dalmatian that you did with the last bit of your money? I loved that show. I loved the game shows, and so I always wanted to be a game show host. And probably for the better, I didn't follow through on that dream. And a lot of us never really followed through on that dream of being a child, you know, our childhood dreams of what we wanted to do. You know, ladies, I don't know how many of you that wanted to be a princess, and, well, you know, I doubt there was a royal calling, and so you probably took a much more noble calling in life. And guys, I don't know how many of you decided to be astronauts, but it's fine that you weren't. I mean, there's so many other callings in life, and it's not a matter of what we pursued in life. It's a matter now of understanding that we actually do have a second career as well as our career that we use as a job. And our second career is what God has chosen us for. That's what I would like to talk about this morning. Please rise for the reading of our sermon text, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Paul writes this, "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God, that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." You may be seated. And I got thinking about that as I was reading that verse this week, and I saw in there, and Paul referred to our actions, how we are letters that testified to his teachings, and I thought to myself, that is great. How we live is what we testify to what we believe, and I got thinking about our second career that we all have, and that career that God has called us to be light bulbs. Every single one of us is a light bulb. We have the opportunity to shine bright in the world. Think about the times in your house when a light is burned out and the room usually sits a little bit more dim, and how many times you forget about it. And the room is dim, and every time you go in, that's right, I got to get light bulbs. And you forget, and a week later, a month later, maybe you finally get that new light bulb, and it looks great to finally have it. And I thought to myself, how many times has God said, hey, there's some darkness there, I need a light bulb, and he had a hard time finding one. Matthew 9:37, Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And so you see, when the world is dark, we shine, and that's how the world sees God. So I got a few points that I want to talk about. There's point number one out of this, though, as we talk about how we can be light bulbs, and I think it's fitting enough after the installation last week that I talk about my obligations to you as your pastor, how I can shine the light for God and for Hope Free Lutheran Church. 1 Timothy 3:1-7, it lists the obligations of what's called an overseer, which would mean a pastor. In this list of obligations, I need to be honorable and respectable, both in my marriage and in raising my kids. So how I treat my wife needs to be honorable and respectable. How I raise my kids, they need to reflect that as well. I need to be seen that way by others as well. I need to reflect how I am supposed to be. I am, if you will, I am reflecting what this church is about, and so I need to make sure that others see me that way. People need to see me as being self-controlled and not quarrelsome, and God is testing me with that one because I come from 3 generations of lawyers. My grandpa, dad, and sister are all lawyers. All I want to do is argue everything, and I'm not supposed to be quarrelsome, and so that one's a real stretch. I also need to teach and be hospitable. So for those of you that come to Bible study on Wednesdays, I'm going to start making treats for you. And I need to be guarded against being puffed up or putting myself in a position where my actions can be seen as disgraceful by outsiders. And what's interesting, if you read that section in 1 Timothy 3, the last two ones about being guarded against being puffed up or how others can see you, those actually come with warnings that by falling into those, you're falling into the traps of the devil. So there's some warnings for me that I have to be careful of as a pastor. And so my promise to you is to live my life that way. My promise to you also comes from 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9 reads this much: he must hold firmly to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. That is my promise to you, that I will always preach the word of God as true. Everything I say and do will come from the word of God. Well, it was very freeing to me one time, I remember saying, because you guys, and I've said this before, have made this incredibly difficult on my family and me with your hospitality and your kindness. Honestly, it's overwhelming at times. And it creates this immense amount of fear of letting everyone down. But I remember talking with somebody at church here one time about that, and they said, as long as you're preaching the word of God, we don't care. A huge relief. Preach the word of God, Pastor. That's what we want. That's what we need. And so I will always preach the word of God as absolute truth, because I believe that with my heart. I believe that in the word of God right here, this is what contains for us salvation through Christ and through Christ alone. So for me to preach anything else would not be right. The best compliment I ever heard about my preaching one time, somebody said, you preach like you believe it. And I do. What I say, I believe, because I genuinely believe that God has given me the words that I say. These are not my own words, but God has given me a message to say, and it's out of an excitement and a joy of being able to share God's word that I am up here today. It's sharing a passion and a desire that we would all know it. So I will always share from you passionately and filled with joy about what God has placed in my heart. That is my promise to you as a pastor, to be a light bulb for Christ and for Hope Free Lutheran Church. I do in return ask for your prayers, though, please. It is difficult, especially knowing, again, that the enemy is looking to trap the elders and the pastors of a church. Pray that I always would be guided by God. I would always look for his leading and for the leading of the Spirit. Be patient with me when I make mistakes. But the next 2 points in this one that I got out of this of how we can be God's light bulb is ourselves now. And there's 2 ways that we can be God's light bulbs, the way that we can shine our light into the darkness of the world. The first one is that our own transformation and how we change how we are different from the world, thus we can shine brighter. There's so many different examples in Scripture, it's amazing, of how we are called to be transformed. We need to be living different. Romans 12:2 calls for us to be transformed. Ephesians 2:22 implores us to put off our old self. Colossians 1:21 and 22 is an example of some of these statements that are in here about how we are supposed to put away the old. In Colossians 1:21 and 22 reads this: and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So we are being called right there, put off our old sense. We are being presented as blameless now, holy and blameless. And so we should pursue then what Christ has made us. That's what we need to become, understanding that. And so as we pursue that, we have to understand this is how we are light, but how we are different, by what we have put aside the old us. In our Old Testament reading, if you heard it this morning, God was calling his nation of Israel to be a light for him. In our New Testament reading, Jesus was calling us to be that light that is on a hill for the world to see. 1 Peter 2:9 reads this as instruction for us. I'm not good at marking my pages, I tell you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see that? That is our profession. That is what God has called us to do as well. Aside from our occupation in which we provide for our living, what we are called to do also is always to be a light. Because we understand the light that God has shined for us that called us out of darkness, thus we need to be that light for others to see as well. And being a light isn't just obeying the commandments. Well, God, you know what? I didn't rob any banks this week. I didn't kill anybody, so you know what? I'm a light. Most people don't do that. We have to be above and beyond that to be a light. Ways that we can be a light is not looking like the world. And I got thinking of the minor examples that Scripture listed of the little bit of characteristic traits that we need to have in our lives. What about like corrupt talk coming out of your mouth? There's warnings against that. I mean, stop and think about that. If you're speaking ill of others, how are people around you supposed to believe that God loves everyone? You represent God. You're one of God's children. And so if you say bad things about others, then, well, people might think that, God must think that way about others as well. Or if you're critically judging people, we understand that, you know what, we are forgiven of our sins because of Christ's death on the cross. And so if we are critically judging people for their sins, we are not helping them understand that God can redeem them from their sins and forgive them when they accept Christ as their Savior. Are we allowing anger to consume us? If we want to teach that we have a forgiving and loving God, we sure can't be that way then. We can't be angry and filled with grudges and resentful towards others, because this all reflects God's character. This is how people see God through us. How we act is how they'll see God. You know, there's two areas in Scripture I think are fantastic for how we can look like God. And I've mentioned this one before, and you'll hear me talk about it a lot. It's one of my favorite things to read on Scripture. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's all these characteristics that we should take on, things like peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. Traits that are hard to do. We have to work on those traits. They can be challenging to do, but we look different from the world when those traits become us. But another area that I think is so important for how we should add this and become this in our lives to look different from the world, if you think about it, if the world is filled with darkness, we have an enemy that's trying to darken our light. And so we have to protect ourselves from that enemy, and God has given us what's called the spiritual armor of God. You read about that in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Here's what God provides for us to protect our light. Here's what we do to put on then to protect ourselves: truth, righteousness, the readiness of the gospel, faith, salvation, the Spirit, the Word of God. These are all things then that when we embrace these things and we make these part of our life and our walk, we protect ourselves from an enemy that's trying to darken our light. Think about that. If you understand the Bible as the truth and God's truth, an absolute truth, you can't waver from what it teaches. And the readiness of the gospel, always anticipating the return of Christ and desiring that others would know it as well. And our faith and knowing the salvation, allowing the Spirit to work in us and to grow us, to transform us. Spend time in the Word of God, my friends. You'll draw closer to God. That's that armor. That's how we get stronger to God. Somebody I read this one time was great, because he said, you know what? Armor doesn't put itself on. We have to put it on every day. The Word of God is how you put armor on. Otherwise, you are walking into a battlefield, because this earth is a battlefield, and you're walking in that naked. Put some armor on. Cover yourselves up and protect yourself from an enemy that is trying to darken your light. And lastly, then, besides the internal way, the transformation we can have, which make us shine different than the rest of the world, is the external way. How do we shine our light for those that are caught in darkness? And listen, that's not comfortable. I don't like doing that part. None of us do. All right? But hear what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 46 and 47. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Don't the Gentiles even do the same? So right there, Jesus is telling us, don't pat yourself on the back because you come into church today and say hi to everybody, because you know what? We're comfortable being around fellow Christians. We are comfortable being around those that love Jesus and that have a relationship with him because they're not awkward. And we should fellowship with one another. I'm not saying not to, but he's saying don't pat yourself on the back for that, all right? In order for the world to see God's light, the light has to start going out into the darkness. You know, the religious leaders back in Jesus' day, they looked down on Jesus. I mean, he sat with the scum of the earth, the sinners. How dare you? And what does Jesus tell him in Luke 5:31? He says, it's the sick that need a doctor, not the healthy. Friends, that's how you got to look at everybody. People that are caught in darkness are sick. You offer them a hope that can heal them. A hope from the darkness that they're trapped in from the world today. Jesus went out into the darkness to spread hope. That was his light. And I get that it's uncomfortable being around people that are different. I mean, listen, sometimes these people are weird. Sometimes they're needy. Sometimes, Frankie, you want to grab them and shake them and say, seriously, all these problems in your life are for your bad decisions. But I've searched Scripture through and through, and I have yet to find a place where Jesus goes and condemns these people and shakes them and says, this is your fault. What does he do instead? He loved them. Loved them. Think about it. You get people that have those hard points in life. They're stuck in a rut in life. Maybe sometimes they just need somebody to listen to as they work through the challenges. Sometimes people have been really hurt by others. We don't know it, they don't talk about it, but that's led them down the path that they're on. So imagine if you're just a trustworthy friend to them, something that they haven't had before. What about weird people? Imagine being a friend to somebody like that, because usually weird people don't have a lot of friends because they're different and it's hard to be around them. But what kind of impact you can have on them? Wow, somebody loves me, because that's how Jesus treated them. That's how we bring light into the darkness. This is how people feel cherished by God, because when we cherish them, they feel God cherishes them. Jesus didn't look at people as if they were charity cases. He looked at them as God's creation, and he loved them. So I want to issue a little challenge for all of us here this morning. I'd like to challenge everybody to invite somebody to church. Invite someone you know to church. I came across some really interesting statistics. Only 21% of active churchgoers actually invite somebody to church. So if I lined up 10 of you here, only 2 of you actually invite somebody to church. But yet, 9 out of 10 unchurched people say they would go if they were invited. So if you're scared about somebody saying no, the odds are pretty good that they're going to say yes. So with those kind of odds, we can't rely on excuse, well, what if they say no? And if they say no, then find somebody else. That doesn't mean you don't invite people to church. Take that challenge up, invite somebody you know to church. Because more likely than not, they want somebody to invite them. They want to feel loved. And more than just inviting them to church, invite them out to lunch afterwards. Make them feel special. Make them feel glad that they came with. Let them ask questions. Be gracious in your answers. Don't present the gospel as something you have to do. Sometimes I think we can make that mistake of, we almost treat the gospel like eat your spinach. You know, when mom used to lecture you on that, nobody liked that. We don't like being told what to do. The gospel isn't something we should tell people to do. Instead, it should emanate from us, the joy that we have and what it can do for people. People that are trapped in the darkness, there should be a happiness in you that says, you can be freed from all this. That's a whole different message than eat your spinach. So friends, that's what I want to leave you with. I want you to be the light that God has called you to be. So I decided, this might be a little corny, but I was proud of it, okay? I want you to all become a GE light bulb. And GE is going to stand for God's evangelists. Go in the world, shine that light. Let's bring people into the hope that they need, especially people that are trapped in darkness. Close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, for that joy and excitement and desire in all of our spirits to fulfill the great commission that Jesus has put forth. Lord God, may we shine your light and may we desire for the world to see it and to know it. It isn't about numbers at a church, Lord God. Instead, it is about truly repentant hearts that are seeking you. Heavenly Father, we pray you would give us the strength and the boldness to share with those that need your word and your hope, to share with them about the true hope that can be found in you through Christ alone, Father God. May we always stand on that hope. We pray this in Jesus' name.